Invite you to take your Bibles or your order of worship and turn to our text for today for the sermon. It is related to the scripture reading earlier that we had that Robert read for us. We're reading the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verses 38 through 42 this morning. So we listen to an experience, an encounter in the life of Jesus that has some words for us today. Our focus today is preparing for a party. I invite you to hear the words in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 10, starting in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. And indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word today. I remember many years ago, Billy Graham telling the story in one of his sermons. He told the story of a stressed out secretary. The stressed out secretary told her boss one day, she said, "Listen, when this rush is over, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I earned it, I deserve it, and nobody's taking my nervous breakdown away from me," she said. How often do we feel that way, right? How often do we feel that kind of stress in our lives? Maybe we often feel it in life, but it seems to me that the fall is especially a stressful, busy time. After the summer, when things are a little more relaxed and we have plenty of time and the schedule's a little different, it's kind of hard to gear back up sometimes in the fall. And particularly now, after a couple of years of COVID and schedules being disrupted, we're trying to gear back up. And I don't know, things just seem particularly stressed sometimes. I see that in lives often. We are stressed when we're preparing for a big event, when we're preparing for a party or a large gathering or maybe even a wedding. I've often had the pleasure of talking with couples who are planning to get married and meeting with them for pastoral counseling or premarital counseling before the big event. And it's always interesting to me to watch the stress level. Early on, many months before the wedding, everything's great and everybody's happy and the couple is deeply in love and things are great. But the closer it gets to that big event, the stress levels just kind of build up and get to be more concerning. That's how it is in life. When big events happen, when our schedules are stressed, we find ourselves stressed. We find ourselves overly worried and concerned. It's that way here at church. Life can get pretty busy here at church, especially in the fall, when we're trying to gear back all our activities up and our regular schedules coming back, preparations for the holidays and Advent and Christmas are just around the corner. It's a busy time. It can be really stressful. Well, now, on top of all that, we're planning for our 150th anniversary. It's just 4 weeks away now. This big event we've been talking about for several years now, just 4 weeks away. I hope you're planning to be here on October 22nd and 23rd. It should be a wonderful time for all of us. And preparations are underway. Lots of things are happening. Many people are working so hard for this big event. Our history committee has been working diligently for some years now. They've been meeting every week for quite a long time, getting things ready for this big event to come. Many people throughout the life of the church are preparing and getting ready for this big event that we have coming that is just 4 weeks away. We have been using our church 150th anniversary logo. We have had wonderful displays in the narthex and the lobby. We have been building and getting ready for this event. We have cleaned our facilities here. The history book is being finalized. We're spreading word to folks to come back if they're not currently here to share this wonderful weekend with us. Meals are being planned. So much is happening. What a wonderful event we have to look forward to in just a few weeks. There's still more to do, of course, but some last-minute items to take care of, but it's an exciting time. I wonder what Jesus would say to us as we are getting ready to celebrate this big event. I wonder what Jesus' message would be for us as a church, and maybe even beyond that, I wonder what Jesus' message is for us as individuals as we experience busy, hectic times in our lives. Our text for this morning tells us about a very significant occasion in the life of Jesus and his disciples. On this significant occasion, Jesus was going to the home of Martha and Mary. Now, we know that Mary and Martha were good friends of Jesus, but still, anytime Jesus comes to your home, it's a big event. It's a special, memorable occasion. Jesus was coming for dinner, and the Bible tells us that Martha was busy working. She was cleaning, she was cooking, she was getting all those last-minute things done. And now that Jesus was at the home, she was finalizing the last details, running around, making sure everything was set and just so for the meal. But there was a problem. And you saw what the problem was. The problem was her sister, Mary. While Martha was so busy and running around trying to take care of everything, the Bible tells us in this story explains Martha or Mary was just kind of plopped down there in the middle of the floor, and she was relaxing, she was pausing from all the many activities, and she was just listening and participating in the conversation that was taking place. Martha was busy, and Mary was just relaxing. How rude, how insensitive, how inconsiderate of Mary. Martha was busy with necessary matters, but Mary just sat there. While Martha ran around getting everything ready, Mary just laughed, joined the conversation, participated. Can't you just imagine how incensed Martha was? Actually, Martha is so angry that she says something, but isn't it interesting? She doesn't say something to her sister Mary, does she? No. Who does she say something to? She tells Jesus. I wonder why. Maybe she knew her sister wouldn't listen to her. I don't know. Maybe she, Martha and Mary, had this conversation many, many times before, and it got them nowhere. Or maybe Martha wanted Jesus on her side. She wanted Jesus to scold her sister Mary for her. We don't really know, but we do know what Martha said, and that is she looked to Jesus and she said, "Lord, won't you tell her to get up? Won't you tell her to come help me? Don't you see I'm the only one doing anything around here? Don't you see how unfair that is to me? Wouldn't you tell her, please, to get up and come help me? I'm the one doing all the work. Jesus, tell her to help me." Martha was stressed. We can relate to that, can't we? We can relate to that here at church as we have just a few more weeks to get ready for this big, momentous event in the life of our church. We can relate to that in our individual lives, in our hectic, busy schedules that all of us seem to live. We can relate individually and corporately. But Jesus had a word for Martha. Jesus has a word for us. Jesus said, "Martha, you're anxious. You're troubled about many, many things. But only one thing is really important in life. And Mary has chosen that which is most important." What was that? What was the one thing? Jesus doesn't specify, but it's pretty clear from the text. The one thing seems to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus seems to be saying that of all the things we do in life, of all the things that take up our time, of all the things that we are so constantly involving ourselves in, of all of these things, the most important thing is sitting at the feet of Jesus, or we might say, worship. So it's not that work and preparation are not important. That's not the message here. The message is not that work and preparation don't need to happen. No, they are very important. If Martha had not prepared the meal that day, there would have been nothing to eat. Work and preparation are vitally important. The same is true in our lives today. Work, preparation, effort, things that concern and occupy us. These are important matters. We should involve ourselves in preparation for things in our lives. We should be prepared and ready for the events and circumstances and responsibilities that we have in life. You have to be prepared. You have to make sure that all that is required of you is done. That's important. That's also a part of this text. That's the lesson from the passage that Robert read earlier in our service this morning about the farmer. The farmer who worked hard and diligently, and he prepared for himself a large bounty and had plenty of supplies and things at his disposal. Work is important. The truth is, very few things of meaning happen in life without a lot of work and preparation. Don't miss that in this text. But I think Jesus is saying it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of a priority. In other words, don't let the urgent cause you to miss the important. Don't let the urgent cause you to miss that which is truly important. As a church, we cannot miss sitting at the feet of Jesus. None of us can miss that. We can't miss the opportunity for worship. Of all the things we do 4 weeks from now on that wonderful weekend, of all the things that we do, the most important thing we do will be to worship God, to thank God for God's blessings for 150 years of ministry in this place, in this community. Of all the things we do, the most important that day is to celebrate who God is and to worship God and give thanks for God's many blessings in our lives. That is what Jesus would say is the best portion. Here's the key as I think about this passage. Martha was distracted. See, it's not that what she was doing was not important. It was important. But those important matters, those critical matters, those urgent matters distracted her from what was most important. The text basically tells us that she was drawn away from what was most important by the burden of her duties. Jesus showed great concern for Martha in verse 41. But he also wanted her to know what was most important. And he says that the word of God, that being with God, being in God's presence, worshiping for us, has the most important claim in our lives. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, worship is what's most important. For us here at church, we cannot miss out on the opportunity we have for worship. But I think it's beyond just the church. This is a message for us as individuals as well. It speaks to how we live our lives today. How often do we find ourselves in our lives spending so much energy, so much time preparing for and getting ready for the things in life that when they actually come, we miss out on what is most important? This word from Jesus is a call. It is a clarion call to all of us to slow down, to make sure that we are seeking what is truly most important in life, worship, our relationship with Christ, the deep spiritual matters that drive us in our walk of faith. We all know our world today is wrapped up in being successful. Every message we get from our world today just tells us the importance of us being successful, looking successful, feeling successful, being perceived as being successful. We want the biggest and the best. We spend so much time and energy trying to gain success according to what our world says is success. We want the best jobs, the biggest salaries, the nicest homes, the expensive clothes and vehicles. We want to be successful in the eyes of others, but the Bible says very clearly that is not where we find meaning and fulfillment. Gene Rosenbaum says there is never enough success in anybody's life to make one feel completely satisfied. That is so true. Lloyd Carr says something similar, phrases it a little differently. He says, the trouble with success is that the formula for success is the same as the formula for a nervous breakdown. Success is an illusion, right? Success is something that looks nice and pretty, but it really doesn't exist, at least the way it is often subscribed or prescribed to us. We live such busy lives. See, it's not just about success. It's also about how busy we often are trying to achieve that which we think we want. We have so many modern conveniences today that are supposed to make life easier and save us time, but we find that we're busier than ever before. And sometimes it seems the most important things in life are the things we pay the least amount of attention to. You've probably heard this story, but it's worth hearing again if you've heard it before. A professor stood before a class one day and he had several items that were on the table there in front of him. And when the class began, without saying a word, he picked up a very large and empty jar and he started to proceed to fill it with golf balls. When the golf balls reached the very top of the jar, the professor turned to the students and he said, is the jar full? And the students said, yes, the jar is full. So he reached under the table and he grabbed a box of pebbles. And he took the pebbles and he poured the pebbles into the top of the empty jar and he kind of shook the jar a little bit and the pebbles began to fall down between the little cracks and holes and spaces between the golf balls. And then he filled it all the way up, pebbles and golf balls to the top of the jar. And then he looked at the class and he said, now is the jar full? And they said, yes, smiling. They understood. But then the professor picked up a box of sand. He began pouring the sand into the top of the jar. And again, he shook the jar a little bit and the sand fell between the places, between the golf balls and the pebbles. And it came all the way up to the top. And now this jar all the way to the top was filled with golf balls and pebbles and sand. And the class was kind of smiling and laughing now. And again, he says, "Now is the jar full?" And they smiled and they said, "Yes, now the jar is full." And then the professor reached under the table and he took out two cups of coffee. And very slowly he began to pour each cup of coffee into the jar. And it went in and filled in the spaces even between the grains of sand that were in the jar. And the class smiled and they understood. And the professor said to the class, "I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. And these golf balls, the first thing we put in, they are the most important things in your life. The golf balls are things like God, your family, your health. They are the most important things. The pebbles then are some of the other things in your life, like your job and your house and your material possessions and the things that occupy much of your time. The sand then is everything else. It's the small stuff. But here's the point," he said. "If you put the sand in first, there's no room for the pebbles or the golf balls." The same is true in your life, he says. If you spend all of your time and energy on the important, on the urgent but not the important matters, then you will not have room in your life for that which is most important. And one student raised his hand and he said, "But professor, you didn't say anything about the two cups of coffee." And he smiled and he said, "I'm glad you asked." He said, "It just goes to show, no matter how busy your life may be, there's always room for a couple of cups of coffee with a friend." How do you spend your life? Urgent or important? How do you spend the time that God has given to you in this life? How often do we fill up our lives with sand and leave such little room for the more important things of life? How much different would our lives be if we were able to spend most of our time focused on the things that truly matter? I read this week, one person wrote, "Time is significant because it is so rare. It is completely irretrievable. You can never repeat it or relive it. There is no such thing," the person writes, "as a literal instant replay. Time travels alongside of us every day, and yet it has eternity wrapped up in it." William James, the philosopher, once wrote, "The great use of life is to spend your life for something that will outlast your life. The truly important." Jesus has a very simple question for us in our hectic and busy lives. The very simple but important question is, how are you spending your time? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this morning we are thankful for your word that reminds us, in the busyness and the hectic pace of life, you call us to pause, to be still, to know that you are a God, and to recognize that which is truly most important in life. Lord, we confess today how easy it is to become distracted like Martha, to take our eyes off of what is most important. Lord, help us each and every day to take time and effort to focus on the things that are most important. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Lead us and guide us in these ways, we pray, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.